Hello, thank you all for attending. The data, I'm Paolo Pagliari, and the data I'll be presenting you today is part of my PhD research that I did at the University of Wisconsin under the supervision of Dr. Carrie Loboski. And we looked at the effects of manure inorganic and enzymatic hydrolyzed bulk phosphorus on a soil test phosphorus. When you do a literature review on the effect of what manure is after you mix with the soil on a soil test P, you usually find a wide range of results. For example, here I have a study by Siddiq and Robson where they apply different manures to five different soil series. And what we can see is that the different manures increase soil test P measured as a resin P extraction to different degrees than when compared one to another. And also we see that in different soils, the magnitude of that increase is also different. And we see that the fertilizer usually increases soil test P more than manure, but in some cases it can be the same or even a little less. Now, in these other studies, one is by Lyatem et al. And another by Loboski et al. I apologize for the quality of the pictures that came out to be. But the main thing we see here is that when you apply phosphorus in an increasing rate, we see a pretty linear relationship for the fertilizer and also for the manure. And we also see that the fertilizer tends to increase soil test P more than the manures for these soils, whereas in the Loboski study, they found that the liquid swine manure increased soil test P more than fertilizer. What those three studies show briefly is that you apply manure to different soils and you get some increase in soil test P. And when you look at the hypothesis why those increases happen, each author has a different hypothesis, and they not always come out to be the same. So we thought that maybe if we get a wide range of soil and a wide range of manure, we could try to understand better what are the reasons for those differences and try to understand better what happened when we apply manure to a soil. So therefore, the objectives were to characterize the increase in soil test P after manure and fertilizer application, determine if and how soil properties affected the increase in soil test P, and also see if there was an effect of the manure properties on how the manure increased soil test P. For this study, we selected 25 soil series from all around the state of Wisconsin, from lands that were under agricultural production. And the soil had a wide range in physical and chemical properties. And the property that we picked to make a decision in what soil would be in a study and which soil would not was the initial Bray P level of the soils. And we targeted a range between 10 and 70, and then it turned out to be that all of our 25 soils ranged from 14 to 69. For the treatments we applied, we collected 42 different manures, including beef, dairy, goat, sheep, horse, poultry, and swine manures. And we also had a fertilizer where we used triple superphosphate and also a control treatment where we did not apply any treatment. You can see that this was only an incubation study which had a lot of samples. We used a randomized design with four replications, and we also measured the inorganic and the enzymatic hydrolyzable manure phosphorus in all of our samples. The amount of total phosphorus that we applied was 40 milligrams of total P, which comes out to be about 180 kilograms of PTO5 per hectare. The incubation study was set up at 25 Celsius and was conducted for 10 weeks. And the water content of our incubated soil was kept between 40 and 60% of the field capacity of those soils. And then we determined the increase in soil test P using the Bray P extraction. And the increase in STP was calculated by subtracting the mean STP in a control for a given soil from the soil test P after the treatment for that same given soil. Now, jumping into the results, this is a summary of the results for five soil series. We have here in our x-axis our treatments, and here are the animal species for each of the manure, and it's also an increasing dry matter content from left to right. And then we also have on the y-axis the increase in soil test P. The one thing that we see at first is that some manures increase soil test P more than fertilizer, which is our little triangle. And we also see that in the majority of the cases, the manure increased soil TSP less than the fertilizer. But again, it depends on the soil series. For example, in this metamidi, we see that a lot of the manure samples increase soil TSP the same as fertilizer. So just by doing this, we found what's been published before, that the increase in soil TSP varies by manure treatment and also by soil series. So we did not learn much than has already been published. So since we had a wide range of soils and manures, we thought, well, we can measure all those properties, and let's see now if there's any correlation between soil parameters and increasing soil TSP, or the manure parameters with the increasing soil TSP. Well, when we looked for the soil properties, we did not see any strong relationship since our correlation factors are all really low. Although there are some significant p-values, it doesn't really mean that there's a strong relationship. Maybe the manure properties would help. We still didn't see any strong relationship, though we see that some manure properties have a higher correlation than others, which gives the hint that there might be something hidden within this manure. Maybe we gotta look into different fractions of the manure phosphorus to understand what the increasing soil TSP was. Now here's another summary for the manure. Here we have the total phosphorus in the manure. We can see the wide range in all of the species we selected. But the main thing in this table is when you add the inorganic P and the hydrolyzable P in the manure, we can see the wide range that we have in all of those treatments. So if we say that the inorganic plus the hydrolyzable P together are the forms that can interact with soil and increase soil TSP, we see that the amount of that bioavailable P ranges tremendously among all of those manures. So maybe that's one of the things that would affect the increasing soil TSP. So to look more deep into that, we went and we looked what was the response of all of our soils to fertilizer alone, and then we developed the 95% confidence limit just for the inorganic fertilizer for all of the soils. And then we plot that out, and then we came with the increasing soil TSP from each manure as a function of the water-soluble inorganic P in the manure. What that is you get the inorganic soluble P in the manure, you divide that by total P in the manure, and then you get a fraction, which is the water-soluble inorganic P, and then you multiply that fraction by the total applied, which was 40 milligrams, and that gives you the amount of water-soluble inorganic P only. And then when you use that as our x-axis, we don't really see any relationship between the inorganic water-soluble P and what we would expect to see with the inorganic fertilizer. So we also have another fraction that is the sodium bicarbonate fraction, and then we add that fraction and still doesn't really look any good, but for some soils it kind of start to fall within the 95% range for the inorganic fertilizer. Now, if we get together all the inorganic fraction in the manure, which is the water, the bicarbonate, the sodium hydroxide, and the HCl soluble inorganic P, we found that for 10 out of our 25 soil series, the majority of the points fall within the 95% confidence limit for the inorganic fertilizer, which is a pretty good result. That means that most of the inorganic P in the manure acts just like inorganic P from any ordinary fertilizer. But that's only half of the story. For another 15 soil series, we still see all of this manure that is above the soils that are still above the 95% confidence limit for their inorganic fertilizer, which means that there is more phosphorus from manure that will react with the soil and increase soil TSP than what is inorganic. So I told you there was about 4 to 24% of the total P that was enzymatic hydrolyzable. And if there is enzyme in the soil, that monophosphatase enzymes in the soil that can hydrolyze those forms, and then that organic P is also going to act just like an inorganic fertilizer. And that's what we found. When we add the total hydrolyzable P, now we get for another 12 soils, I'm only showing you 10, that the majority of the points fall within the 95% confidence limit that we would expect to see when we use an inorganic fertilizer, which now gives a pretty good understand that for some groups of soil, if you know what's the inorganic P in the manure, you know what the increase would be in that soil, as long as you know what the inorganic fertilizer would do to that soil. And then for the other group, you need to know the inorganic plus the hydrolyzable P. So you get a good understanding, but you also have a question, why a group of soil you only need the inorganic fertilizer, and the other group of soil you need the inorganic plus the hydrolyzable forms of P in the manure. Well, we did some simple ANOVA tests, and then we found that this group is the group of soils that only require the inorganic P to account for all of the variability. And then in this group of soils was the group that required the inorganic plus the hydrolyzable P to account for the results we observed. And what we see is that in this group, the average clay content was 140 grams, or 14% clay. And then in this group, it was about 7% clay. And then what this tells us is that the hypothesis we developed was that some of the soils, the ones that have high clay content, will provide physical protection against hydrolysis, so they will have greater surface area where the organic forms of phosphorus can bind to and absorb, and therefore be not available for hydrolysis. And in the soils that have a low clay content, the chances of their organic P binding in the clay surfaces are smaller, and therefore they're more susceptible for hydrolysis, and that's why we see that their forms of phosphorus are getting hydrolyzed. Now, a couple of conclusions. We see that by doing this type of investigations, we could develop a little simple model here where the increase in soil test P would be a function of the manure inorganic phosphorus plus a parameter times the manure hydrolyzable P. And then this parameter would be zero for soils that have a high clay content. Again, those soils would provide a surface area where the organic P would bind onto and therefore not be hydrolyzed. And then for soils with a low clay content, the parameter would be one, and therefore you would simply account for the hydrolyzable P in the manure samples too. So this is a pretty simple model that was able to account for more than 70% of the variability that we observed in our research. And it all, if you don't know what the inorganic fertilizer will do to that soil, then you won't know what the manure will do it either. But if you have an understanding of how the inorganic fertilizer affects your soil, then you can pretty much know what the manure will do to that soil as well. That's what I have to show you guys, and thank you all for attending, and if you have questions, I can try to answer now. Thank you.
We have time for questions, and as I said, I believe we have a free session, so
okay.
The next speaker, Mumtaz Chima, are you here? No, so we have 15 minutes.
I guess I could have done a little slower.
Our previous speakers.
Thank you. Yes.
So it seems to be that you're implying that there's enzymes that are hydrolyzing the hydrolyzable P in the manure, and that's releasing it for the soil test. That would suggest that if you were to sterilize those soils, then you would no longer. That they would tend to behave now according to the regression solution of inorganic P-only soils. Did you test that at all?
We did not test that, but I believe you are correct. If we would go and somehow get rid of all the enzymes, then there would not be an enzyme activity in the soil, and therefore you would not see the organic P getting hydrolyzed, because there would be nothing hydrolyzed in those forms, and therefore only the inorganic form of P in the manure would be reacting with the soil. Yes, that's correct.
There
would be techniques that we could use to really see if that's, if we wanted to test, yes, you're correct. We could find methods to sterilize the soil. But still, I never done it, and I'm not sure if just heat wouldn't that also change then the soil properties? Yes, that's a good point.
Yeah. Does the soil test change in response to inorganic phosphorus? Is it also similarly related to clay content?
We did not see, when we look at the initial soil test pew also did some correlations to see what the clay content would do. And there's a weak linear relationship where the soil test pew would be lower when the clay content was lower. But there was mainly a trend. It wasn't a significant relationship. And there were some other papers that I looked when I was trying to see if there was any of this relationship. And there doesn't seem to be any clear-cut trend, especially because the method we used was the hydrometer method to measure the clay content. And I'm not sure if that would give enough precision to determine whether certain forms of clay or certain sizes of clay would have more effect than others. Shane? Boy, municipal biosolids go through a little more processing than the manure we used did go through. But I believe you're going to have organic forms of P and inorganic forms of P. As long as you can determine what are the organic forms of P and if they are hydrolyzable, then you could probably use the same methodology. You would probably see very similar results. And that would be a way to test if this method actually works or not with any type of organic amendment.
Sorry, that question, the chemistry of the biosolids is very different. So the majority of the phosphorus is in form of inorganic. So more than 70% is inorganic, and a small amount of that is organic. So it might be a little bit different.
Okay, yeah, you might find that the inorganic then is the most significant in terms of what the effects would be on a soil test P. Yes. Gentleman on the back.
Thanks for a really nice presentation. Sorry.
Thank you.
Grilled because the next speaker can show up. you had your soil broken up into two groups, but there was an overlap in the clay content between the two. So if you took the soil that had the high clay content, low clay content group of soils, would that fit into the inorganic P only, or right, because the clay content went from 31 to 121 versus 71 to 226. So if you put the 121 in the other group, would it work?
It would work because most of the, when it gets to be higher, then the effect is a little lower. If you see in here, you see that some soils have just a couple samples that are above, and those would be the soils with the higher clay content. So we could still shift those to the other group. It would shift the amount of samples that would fall above the 95% confidence limit, but it would not be like this, where it had very low clay content. You're welcome. You.
What was the soil test P method?
The method?
Yeah.
It was the Bray P, the Bray and Kurtz. It's the colorimetric. Yes.
You mentioned that this model is 70% of your variability in your data.
Yes. We did have the organic matter, and we tried to use the organic matter also in our one-way ANOVAs, and we used all the soil parameters, because once we got to this level where there were two separate groups, we thought this got to be a soil effect, and then we look at all the parameters we measured for the soil that was in that first column, included pH, organic matter, calcium, magnesium, potassium, several parameters, and the only one that turned out to be significant was clay. So there, with some interaction, we could not pick anything. We know the organic matter will have some effect on availability of phosphorus, but it didn't seem to play any significant role in this. There was something that we were concerned with, but and then when we do the enzymatic hydrolysis of the manure extracts, you can clearly see that the colorimetry doesn't really have a really high effect on what hydrolyzes, because you don't add an enzyme to the manure extract and you get one value. You add the enzyme, you get a greater value. So by difference, you can see that maybe you are hydrolyzing a small fraction, but you are also getting a much greater value than when you add the enzymes. So if there is some hydrolysis, I didn't see anything in the literature, and my data didn't suggest there was any significant hydrolysis. Any more questions? Yes.
Sorry. Just missed that part that you showed how to calculate that line, the guarded line.
The 95% confidence limit?
Yes.
So what we did is we used monoammonium phosphate, and then we applied at 0, 10, 20, and 40 milligrams of pea per kilogram of soil. And then you replicate it three times, and then we basically just ran a regression and asked for the confidence limit.
It was different for each soil, so you did it for each?
Yeah, for each soil individually, yes. And then we compared the slopes, but there was no point in showing slopes comparisons for this. And there are different soils have different slopes, and the magnitude of the increase is different, which that tells us.